From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called Pardon for Sins of Believers, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Peace, Whatever Exposure. The text is found in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 25. I will make them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. It is the height of grace that Jehovah should be in covenant with man, a feeble, sinful, and dying creature. Yet the Lord has solemnly entered into a faithful compact with us, and from that covenant He will never turn aside. In virtue of this covenant, we are safe. As lions and wolves are driven off by shepherds, so shall all noxious influences be chased away. The Lord will give us rest from disturbers and destroyers. Evil beasts shall cease out of the land. O Lord, make this thy promise good, even now. The Lord's people are to enjoy security in places of the greatest exposure. Wilderness and woods are to be as pastures and folds to the flock of Christ. If the Lord does not change the place for the better, He will make us the better in the place. The wilderness is not a place to dwell in, but the Lord can make it so. In the woods, one feels bound to watch rather than to sleep, and yet the Lord giveth His beloved sleep even there. Nothing without or within should cause any fear to the child of God. By faith, the wilderness can become the suburbs of heaven, and the woods the vestibule of glory.
God is my strength, His majesty, your reign.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding "But to Think About" section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Dr. Cairns is dealing with the second division of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, with specific emphasis on the phrase, "And forgive us our debts." In the course of this message, he sought to explain what it means when we ask God to forgive our sins. As we've seen, the petition seeks a full, free, and felt pardon for sin. It also implies the forsaking of the sin confessed. In addition, we are praying for a renewal of fellowship with God, for sin breaks that fellowship. For a Christian to live with unconfessed sin is to live outside of God's purpose. But as the Scripture says, "He that confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy." Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message called "Pardon for Sins of Believers."
Here was David, a joyless, broken-hearted, disillusioned man, king in name, but conquered in soul. And he comes and says, "Lord, restore me, uphold me, and I will teach others, and sinners will be converted unto thee." This is what we're asking the Lord to do with our sin. As we think of these things, I want you to ask yourself and answer the question, why? Why must I ask God to do this? And you ponder the answers. One is because of what your sin is. It's against God. I'm not going through to repeat what I've done in former weeks, but your sin is against God. It's a great debt to His law. It's a great breach of duty to His command. And it brings great wrath and brings sinners under awful punishment, and even believers under tremendous experience of affliction and the wrath of God. But why should you ask for forgiveness? It's a very immediate answer, because you can never be a whole person without it. You remember the miracles of Christ? You remember, miracles are sermons in action. There's a sermon in every miracle of Christ. There's theology in every action of the Savior. And you remember, so often He made people whole? That's what He does when He forgives. If you're not in the experience of God's forgiveness today, you're not a whole person. You're not living a whole life. You can't be rightly related to God. In other words, you are living a life that is a denial of the most basic purpose for any man's existence. Why did God create anything? Revelation 4 verse 11 gives you the answer. It is for God's pleasure. We're created. We are created for Him. The only reason we have to exist is to glorify God and consequently to enjoy Him forever. It's the only reason we have to exist. When you're living out of fellowship with God and without God's pardon, you're denying the most basic rule of human existence. You can't be a whole person. You're not only not rightly related to God, you're not even properly related to yourself. A man who's living without the sense of pardon, he's always at war with himself. If I were to ask you, what is the most devastating war Americans have ever fought in, what would the answer be? It's the Civil War. Now, you lost possibly more men in other wars. I don't have all the figures, but I can say certainly there were bigger wars on the global scale. But nothing has ever inflicted injuries on this nation remotely as great as the injuries of the Civil War. Internecine warfare is always the worst. Listen, your wars with the world may be bad. Your wars with the devil may be terrible. But your wars with yourself are worst of all. And if you are not living in God's forgiveness, I tell you today, you are at war with yourself. For it's only God can give a man peace within. Some of you know what that's all about. Can't be a whole person without God's forgiveness. And you can't be rightly related to others without God's forgiveness. I cannot be a husband or father as I ought to be without God's forgiveness. It's impossible. I can't be the proper person to other people. I can't fulfill my obligations to other people. I can't be rightly related to anything unless I'm rightly related to God, unless I have God's forgiveness. That's why I should ask for forgiveness. And of course, there's an even better reason, and that's because God, as we saw last week, stands ready to forgive. The 86th Psalm puts it, explicitly, he is ready to forgive. We were singing this morning in the 130th Psalm, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And the last verse, there's plenteous redemption. God stands ready to forgive. Isn't this amazing? God stands ready to forgive every guilty sinner who will come with his burden of sin and ask for his forgiveness. And yet sinners plow on the road to hell saying, I won't be forgiven. And then they want to blame God. He says to every Christian who's not enjoying the fullness of fellowship and power, I stand ready to restore. And yet there are Christians who come and go week after week, month after month, living in a second-rate experience with God, putting things in between them and the Savior. And then wonder what's going wrong in their lives. He has made full provision. Thank God, as the old hymn writer said, there is power in Jesus' blood. That's why we should ask the Lord to do this. When should you ask Him to do it? Well, clearly as soon as you feel the guilt, as soon as you recognize the need, you go to the only one who can meet the need. Without delay. When Daniel was praying about forgiveness in chapter 9, verse 19, this is what he said, O Lord, hear. Notice the passion here. Notice the build-up. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, O my God. What had happened? Daniel had gone to the Bible. Daniel had examined the books. And Daniel had come to understand certain things. And he understood the need, not only of personal but national forgiveness. He understood there was an urgency about the matter. And he starts to cry, Lord, do not let another moment go by. Forgive and do not defer. That's when you need to cry. Or as Isaiah puts it, before it's too late. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Or as Job 36 puts it, because there is wrath, beware, lest He take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. That's when you should call. And how? Well, I'll only give you the outline. How should we ask God to deal with our sins? How should we ask God to forgive us? Well, we should ask Him humbly as sinners against the holy God of heaven. The greatest hindrance to people having God's pardon is quite simply pride. I come from Northern Ireland, where the most famous preacher of this last century was the late William P. Nicholson. We have a book of Nicholson's sermons out there. Great Presbyterian evangelist. And when he preached, he was a rough man for rough times. He preached in the middle of civil war and turned, by the grace of God, civil war into revival in the 1920s. And that rough man for rough times used to look at his congregations and denounce what he called their dirty, rotten, stinking pride. Now, you don't expect that sort of language from the pulpit, do you? No, you don't. But why not? Is your pride not dirty? Is it not rotten? Does it not stink in the nostrils of God? Lord, help us when we put our little pussy-footing ideas before the truth of God. Pride is a filthy thing, and that's what keeps sinners from getting in their face before God. But humbly, as sinners, if we have ever caught the vision of our Father which art in heaven, whose name is to be hallowed, we'd be before Him crying, Father, forgive us. We should pray honestly, as souls with a great need and no other way of meeting the need. I love the words of the Apostle Peter in John 6, 68 and 69, when Jesus said, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That's how you pray. Lord, honestly, with a great burden of need and a great debt of sin, and without any means of paying for it, I apply to thee, for we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that way you can pray confidently as children. Listen, this is a sweeping statement, no more sweeping than the text itself. Any man, any woman, any boy, any girl who can honestly come to God as our Father can and will have God's pardon. The child of God can come as a child with confidence. Father, forgive us our debts. We heard about Martin Luther on Wednesday night. As a young fellow reading Luther's biography, I must confess this always used to bother me, and I thought it was perhaps a little harsh, a little hard by Luther. But he spoke about his father Hans, who was a hard, hard man, who thrashed him for nothing. Well, that's the way they did in those days. They just did it for the idea, if he doesn't know what he's done wrong, or if you don't know what he's done wrong, he will, so just go ahead and do it anyway. And they just thrashed him. And when Luther read about our father, he thought of his own father. He said, that's the meaning of a father. He's a hard man. And he hated the fatherhood of God. And I felt it was making a very big jump, you know, from that to the Heavenly Father. But that was just my ignorance. As a preacher, again and again and again, I've had to deal with people who got no comfort at all from the term our Father. Why? Because they had in their mind a picture. It's the very opposite to what the Bible means by our Father. But let me tell you today, despite every perversion of fatherhood, this is the true picture of what fatherhood is all about. Do not judge God by man, and do not let man stand between you and God. There is nothing sweeter in the vocabulary of heaven that we can use the very same terminology toward the Almighty God as the Lord Jesus uses in the depths of the agony of Gethsemane. The closest Christ could draw to his Father was in prayer when he cried, Abba, Father. When we come to pray as believers in Jesus, Romans chapter 8, what do we cry? Abba, Father. When you can pray with that word, whatever the guilt, whatever the failure, you can come with confidence. Forgive us. Forgive us. And thank God He will.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.